1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's take a few moments in the Word of God. And if this will not challenge you tonight, nothing will. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 12. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious wood, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. That's interesting, isn't it? Of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall not suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Let the church say amen. Father, would you add thy blessing to the reading of your word? Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of self. Fill me with your spirit. Thank you for your precious word. We love you because you first loved us. And help us to be pleasing, Lord, to thee. Bless the preached word now. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The theme of this letter from Paul to the church at Corinth, as we have entitled it, is keeping the church in the world while keeping the world out of the church. If you're in agreement with that, would you say amen? That is our desire. Now, we agree with the statement. We don't always demonstrate it. But we've got to at least agree with the Bible. Amen? And we do need it. We were talking before service. I was talking to Mrs. Ashley. We were talking about the message and the word. And I said, well, we as preachers should never, ever, ever have a problem with something to preach. I mean, we got a Bible. And I said, so there's never an excuse as a preacher not to give it. And she responded, yeah, but we need to live it. And so we have to understand that God's word is truth. But if we really believe it, we need to behave differently. And so Paul is challenging the church because this church began right, but got corrupted by worldliness. And listen to me. You can be a good Christian at a point in time in your life and be corrupted by worldliness. Listen. There's no guarantee that a month from now you'll still be in church. Or 3 days from now. How long did it take you to fall out of the will of God? How many sins do you have to commit before you walk away from God? This church was not just a good church, it was an exemplary church. I mean, the spiritual gifts of God were performed and executed in this church through the power of the Spirit of God. The testimony of Christ was confirmed in this church. You left that church like you knew who Jesus was because of the way that people lived. And they were a blessing to people. God was working and moving, and that church was meaningful in that city. Those sitting in the building had once been given to lives of regret and shame. But they had met the Lord, according to chapter 6. They had been washed, sanctified, and justified. You know anything about those words? That's what happened when you got saved. And God changed them. Where would they have been were it not for grace? But worldliness had crept in, and it showed up by way of symptoms of senseless divisions in that church. Because less of God and more of the world was in there, they started forming cliques, groups, clans, if you will. And all of them were identifying themselves with a man. And Paul reminds them, you didn't get saved by a man, you got saved by Jesus. And he is not divided. We get to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He dealt with the spirit of carnality. He challenged them after that with who's who in the work of God. And that they were bringing that worldliness of who's who. You know, that's how the world functions. And the world's got a who's who's list for everybody. And you're always ranked by something. Everybody's got an elite group. Hey, God begins to speak through Paul and said, there's no who's who in the work of God. The only body that's somebody is Jesus. We're all nothing. I mean, one of us plants and one of us waters, but God gives the increase. No Christian in here saves anybody. You can point them to the Lord, lead them to the Lord, guide them to the Lord, tell them about the Lord. But all of your telling and pointing and guiding and leading will never save anybody. Be careful that you don't buy in. Some people use it innocently. They don't know any better. I saved somebody the other day. They don't understand it. But once you find out the terminology, you ought to practice saying things the way the Bible says it. You don't save anybody. God does the saving. And he uses his grace to do it. That's what Nathaniel is singing about, the grace of God. Last week we dealt with getting involved in the work of God. We understood when who's who in the work of God that God is doing the work. But the significance of the next section that we entered into last week was not only that God was doing the work, that we get to get involved in it. I don't know about you. Some of us have been involved in the work of God so long we've forgotten just how big of a deal it is. The work of God. He says, you can get involved. And I'm challenging you and encouraging you as a child of God to get involved in the work of God. Not just to be a church member or a church attender or a pew warmer, but to be involved in the work of God. Active, participating, engaged. The context, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Is that of functional togetherness. We are laborers together with God. Say that with me. We are laborers together with God. Come on, say it again. We are laborers together with God. Now turn to the person beside you and say that. So this time you're not only saying it, but you're hearing it. Say it now. We are laborers together with God. That's a big deal. Now let me make this clarification. He's not on my team. I'm on his team. We who were shaped in iniquity and conceived in sin. We about whom all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We who were born in sin and condemned to a devil's hell. We who have gone astray and turned everyone to his own way. We who could not save ourselves. We who have a flesh in which dwelleth no good thing. We who make God sick by the way we live. We who were alienated and outside the commonwealth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We who were strangers and foreigners to God. We who were headed to a devil's hell. We with no hope, no help, no answer, no remedy. We got saved, and if that's all that happened, we ought to praise him for all of eternity. But he didn't just save us. He lets us get involved in the work together with him. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing that God does what he does. It's amazing that he lets me do it with him. The functional togetherness. We are laborers together with God. We looked at some foundational truths last week. The sovereign assistance that God gives us. He talked about us being God's husbandry and God's building. We're his field and his framework. But the foundational truths that he taught us was simply that the sovereign assistance that his grace gives us allows us structural activity to be building. Watch this now. Please understand the scripture. As Christians, God has built us up. But here's what Paul is saying. As a Christian, God has built me up. But he's not only built me up, he has given me his grace to not only to be built up, but to build others up. This is teaching in the Word of God. He saved you. He made you a building. But he not only saved you and made you a building, he gave you his grace so that you can help make someone else a building. The work of God. I want us to think about the work of God, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in this mindset. Building people up. You know, that kind of slays our thinking, doesn't it? Because if we're not careful, we'll be listing all of the categories where we're involved in the work of God. And then after we truly analyze them, we'll find out that none of them actually has us building people up. I'm in this ministry, I'm in this class, I do this thing, I work in this thing, work in this thing. Great. But how many of them has you building up somebody? So I'm posing a question tonight. Every person in the room. Who are you building up? I'm glad you're here. But if that's the apex of what you want to do for God, I think you got a low one. I'm glad it's a Sunday night. I mean, real elite Christians go to church on Sunday night. The who's who go to church on Sunday night. And if we're not careful, we'll start saying, hey, I'm here on Sunday night. Whole lot fewer people here on Sunday nights than on Sunday mornings. That's typically what it is in most churches. Yeah. And then you get to Wednesday, and then you get real elite. Like you go to work out there with them crazy people and then come to church. So they ought to hand you cookies when you walk in the door. And you live in the Washington, D.C. area. You got on 995 or 395 or 495 or 66. You say, what are those things? Those are all works of the devil. The very first things he's going to destroy before he creates the new heaven and the new earth. I can see God. I-95. I think 66 might be next. I mean, 66 is always congested. You get in the fast lane, it's slow. Like, why do I have to have extra people to go slower? And then they've got the new easy pass, which is never slow. But when you need it, it's expensive. You get on it and you go, yesterday it was $1.50. Today it's $17.50. All because all them people decided to drive when I drive. And so you got to make a choice. Sit in traffic or go broke. Either way, you got problems. This is the world we live in. And some of you deal with all of that and still come to church. And if you're not careful, you'll be so proud that you've dealt with all that and still came to church that you'll spend the rest of your Christian life and never build up anybody. Who is growing because of you? Who is here? Who is soul winning? Who is giving? Who knows more about this Bible? Because you were engaged in, oh, pastor, that's just not my style. It's not my skill set. I don't have the construction license to build up people. Listen to Paul's words. He said, this is how I can do it. According to the grace, verse 10, that God has given unto me as a wise master builder. The only thing you need to be licensed to build people is the grace of God. And God has got you covered. So the sovereign assistance, I got to get to what I'm preaching on tonight. I'm getting happy about all this I already told you. The structural activity, the subsequent addition is now, I'm adding on. The foundation has been laid by somebody else, I'm adding on. I just like to warn you in fine print tonight. Just because you didn't lead somebody to the Lord doesn't mean you can't build up that person. So here's what he's saying. Paul's saying, I established you when I came to Corinth, but I had to go somewhere else and continue the work of God. There have been other people that have taken how I established you and added to you. I mean, we move, we get transferred, we go to different areas. Aren't you glad that there are people who weren't there when you got saved that can add into your life? Listen, I've heard Christians who've been saved for 30 years and say that they're getting the most out of their Christian life now than even they did before because God has put them in a place where they can actually be added to. It's possible to sit in a church every week that doesn't add to you. And you're just there, dying on the vine. Thank God that you're in a place where you can be added to. Thank you, Brother Ricky, Brother Paysword, Brother Hartwell. The rest of y'all just tolerating. Thank God you're in a place where you can be added to. I'm saying that, beloved, because I'm telling you that people that go to church every week, with they never leave with any additions. They're just there. I mean, they're there. I mean, their foot taps, their hand claps, they shout, but they're not... That foot stomp, hand clap, hand wave, hanky wave, glory, hallelujah, is good during the service. What that's going to do for you tomorrow morning? You need the truth of the Word of God. Foundational truths to add to you. From the children all the way to the seasoned saints. It is the desire of this pastor and this church to be an organism where people come and grow. You'll be going up I know it's a crazy world. I know it's a sin-sick world. I know the flesh seems like it's fed more than the spirit in this culture and this society. But I'm telling you, the grace of God is sufficient. Yes, it is. So this subsequent addition is good. But Paul gives us a serious admonition about it. We talked about last week that we got to take heed how we build thereon. Huh? We have to make sure that when we find someone who's been saved and established properly, that we don't add to that establishment the wrong way. We talk about false teaching. We talk about heretics and heresy. And I reminded you last night to make sure last week that you're not pouring the wrong stuff into the wrong people, and then that you're not letting the wrong people pour the wrong stuff into you. That you're not listening on everybody, tuning into everything. Amen. Some people blog you don't need to read. Amen. Some people don't need to be helping you. They can't help themselves. The singular absolute is that the other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. It's almost like he's saying, look, folks, if you're going to look for something out there from somebody else, you ain't going to find anything better than what you already have. If you're going to look for another foundation, not only will you not find a better foundation, you won't even find another foundation, because there is only one foundation on which you can be established, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a singular absolute. He's not one of the ways. He's not a good way. He's not the most advantageous way. He's not the most effective way. He's not a premium way. He's not a high-level tier way. He's the only way. The only way you can be built. And so he's encouraging us to make sure that we build the right way. Tonight, let me give you a few thoughts. I promise you, about 10 more minutes, and I'll let you go home. The functional togetherness, the foundational truth. Here's what I call the final test. It is one of the aspects of the Bible that's most convicting to me. The judgment seat. How many days of the year do you think about the judgment seat? When you preach on it, Pastor. It's not enough. You need to be thinking about it when you're not in church. I wonder if you were thinking about the judgment seat last night, if you'd have been there. Wherever you were. I wonder, wherever you were last night, if you were thinking about the judgment seat, would you have still gone? And while you were there, would you have done what you did? I wonder about your plans this week. I wonder if you would plan them if you thought about the judgment seat first. I wonder. Paul, remember, he's dialing us into the work of God and to building up people. Here's what I'm saying to you. One day, you and I are going to give an account to God as to how we built up people. Sometimes we have this. The vocalist forum, you know, Pastor Mike sit and I sit at this table, and you know the soloists sing, and then we make these comments on how they can do better, and everybody listening in, and it can be a little intimidating, right? What about the judgment seat? I mean, he's going to be there. Do you think about it? Please remember that this whole passage is talking to saved people. Only saved people going to the judgment seat of Christ. It's important to understand your Bible. There's another judgment. You don't want to be there. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, Revelation 22. We get to the end of Revelation. That's the great white throne judgment. Oh, I just want to go see what it's like. No, you don't. If you get to the great white throne judgment, you can't get there and go, Lord, this is not the one I wanted to go to. No. That judgment is so bad that there are even going to be people who are already in hell who will be brought up from hell just to be judged and sent back down to hell into the lake of fire. What kind of judgment is that? It's for sin. Is that you? Brother Ricky? You need some water? Okay. Amen. Glory to God. That's for sin. Well, why do some people have to go to that judgment for sin and not for us? Our sin was already judged. Well, if he died and he died for everybody, why are lost people going to stand before that judgment? Because although our sin was judged and everyone's sin was judged on the cross, that payment can only be applied to your account when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And when I said yes to the Bible in agreement with the shed blood of Jesus Christ, God took that blood that was shed for everybody and applied it to my account. And now I am debt free. Amen. But there's other judgment over here. The Bema seat. Judgment seat of Christ. This is when we are judged for our works. And the word works in this chapter is synonymous with ministry. Ministry. We're dealing with ministry here. And ministers. You're going to hear that several times in Corinthians. Ministry, he's going to deal with that in the next chapter. Ministers. We use the word ministry so often and we think of preachers and evangelists and pastors. Let's be honest. The word ministry really is service. You're all ministers. All of us. I know what you're thinking. Well, I need to start introducing myself that way. We'll be having a special in song, Word Not for Grace, by Minister Nate. How many of you like how y'all like that sound? Minister Lori Dunn was singing for us. No, we better not do that, all right? So don't go using it, because some people don't understand what it means. But you do. The terminology is not for you to tote around for people to hear it. The terminology is for you to put it in your heart so you can do it. See, too often we live according to formality and not according to functionality. Amen. You're not a doctor because you pull up at the hospital and see a park that says MD and pull in there. And now you're a doctor because your car's in the park. No, you're a doctor because you went to school. Amen. And you've been licensed accordingly. You're not a good Christian because you're sitting on a pew that makes you look like a good Christian. You're a good Christian because you live out good Christianity. Ministry. Always listen to the person who's been out of town for 2 weeks. I know. He speaks for all of you. Amen. Thank you, brother. Brother Hev. The final test. Differing ministries. Notice, please, quickly. Differing ministries. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, who's the foundation? Come on, talk to me. Who's the foundation? Jesus Christ. And we're all building. But there are differing ministries. Please take notes tonight if you have your pen and paper. One ministry is built using costly materials, and another ministry is built using cheap materials. One is built with gold, silver, and precious stones. The other is built with wood, hay, and stubble. Listen to me. Both are saved. We're not even addressing lost people in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is the judgment seat of Christ where the attendance is made solely up of believers. And yet Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth and moreover to the church at Crossroads saying, all of y'all in here tonight are either using costly materials or cheap materials. Which one are you using? Differing. Ministry. Write this down. Definite manifestation. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Do you hear that? There's a factual event. We are all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's put other places. You're going to be there. I'm going to be there. At that factual event, we will have what I call a fiery examination. It shall be revealed by fire. Please notice verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Yours and my ministry will be revealed. The fire examination will provide full exposure. Watch this now. The fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, I hate to bust your bubble, but the naked eye of the observing church member is not qualified enough to verify what sort of ministry yours and mine is. The Spirit can bear witness with us. We can try. We like to sense sincerity and genuineness. Some of us are more gifted than others at spotting fakes. At least we think we are. But the truth of the matter is, I would say to you that we're all, in many aspects, going to be surprised at the judgment seat. Somebody's going to appear from the masses and going to be revealed as a true servant of God. And if God lets us see, I don't know how he's going to do it. There are going to be a bunch of us that go, that was a true servant. And then somebody else that we really think is going to just have, we're just going up, walking up there with them just so we can help hold their crowns because we know they're going to get a lot of them. God's going to go keep walking. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know if I've heard people say he's going to pull down a screen. And you know what I've learned about the Bible? Preach what it says and don't conjecture what it doesn't. God's going to pull out this grand scheme. And all the angels are going to stand back as a jury. And the pipe organ's going to start playing. And all of a sudden he's going to flash your life across. And you're going to run out the courtroom and scream. That's not in the Bible. But what is in the Bible is your work's going to go through the fire. And stuff they clap for here is going to burn up there.
How great of a pastor am I? We don't know yet. We'll find out at the judgment seat. Here's what I'm learning. But if I will live with that day in mind,
then I'll live right now. It should motivate me.
I don't want all these sermons all over the internet in 63, 64, 65 countries and people to be moved and stirred and challenged
and get up there and God goes, burn it up. I'm past my 10 minutes. Ain't no use in me trying to even act like I didn't do it. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Let me finish. All right. This is for Brother Hev. Differing ministries. Definite manifestation. Lastly, there's a determining measure. Commended work and consumed worthlessness. Two categories. Commended work. What does commended work look like? Verse 14. If any man's work abide, it is lasting realness.
Only real stuff lasts. Fake stuff doesn't last. Not in anything.
Well, I don't want to spend a lot of money on that. That's okay. You just keep buying it. Amen. Fake stuff doesn't last. Fake stuff don't taste the same. They had nerve to put out a product on the market called, I can't believe it's not butter. Taste it. You believe it? There's only one thing in the world tastes like butter. Butter. Diet soda that tastes exactly like real soda. That's a lie. It's a lie. It doesn't taste the same. It ain't meant to taste the same if it don't have the same stuff in it.
Only what's real will last.
There used to be Coke, nothing but the real thing. I wonder how many of us are going to find out just how unreal we were.
lasting realness, which will produce a laboring reward, he shall receive a reward. Listen, you will only be rewarded for the ministry in heaven that went through the fire and lasted. Does that faze you?
Otherwise, it's consumed worthlessness. Three things I want to mention. Suffering loss. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. If your work burns up, you get nothing for it. Suffering loss. Notice what he says. For the saved life, he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And a shameful lesson. I'm done. Here's the scary thing about the judgment seat of Christ. Only your real stuff will make it. And if it's not real, it gets burned up. Here's the good news. If you're there, even though your stuff won't make it, you'll make it. Because you have to have already made it to be there. But the shameful lesson is this. God did all the work to save you. You can take no credit for being at the judgment seat of Christ, and how embarrassing it is to know he did everything to get you there and you didn't do anything since he got you there. What do you mean, since he got me there? Well, you're already there once you get saved. Your citizenship is in heaven. You're not at the event, but it's already scheduled. It's a done deal. The devil can't have you back. If he did all the work to save you, what work are you doing since you gotten saved? Only one life. So soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do his will. So give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays. When you recall, you have but one life. I want you to go home thinking tonight. What am I going to do this week that's going to last? Am I so busy impressing church members and get to heaven? And it doesn't impress God. And how many ministers am I involved in? God bless you for it. But I don't want you to go home and ask yourself how many ministries you're involved in. I want you to go home and ask yourself how many lives you're involved in. And maybe the reason why you're dying underneath your circumstances spiritually and you think that they're so horrible and too insurmountable is because you've spent very little time building up people, so all you have time to do is think about your own problem. And I have found out that my mess looks smaller when I'm helping somebody else with theirs. That's ministry. It's not checking off a bunch of boxes and say, I do all this stuff around the church. It is taking the firm foundation of Jesus and utilizing the sovereign grace of God to build up people. I've never known a child of God that burnt out or rusted out who was faithfully engaged in building up people. How you living? Father, help us. We have work to do. Help us to work harder. I wonder how many believers all over the building would say tonight, Pastor, I've got to do a better job building up people. Would you raise your hand? I have to do a better job. I'm so under the pressure. But that's not an excuse. God has given me grace, and he will keep giving me grace. I must utilize it to pour myself into people. That's ministry. That's the work of God. That's what Paul was talking about when he was talking about planting, watering, and God giving increase. He's talking about people. God help us. Thank you for the people who've built us. But we got to build people. And if we're too busy, then we're too busy. Help us. In Jesus' name.